Guys, look. All right, so welcome to our Practice Accelerator training. This is the last of our trainings for 2018. And in fact, it will be a two-parter. We're going to get it started today, and then we're going to complete it and do more work with it in January, because I think it's a big topic, and it's about creating your offer webinar. So what I mean by offer webinar, well, on our last training, we talked about how to lay out and map out your program. What's your program include? So how are you going to sell this program? Who are you going to sell it to? Well, you got to get people together and just get them really excited about it. You can't just send an email to say, hey, I just created this program. You want to buy it? Like, you've got to create excitement over it. And so we do this online via webinars. We could do it in person via a live training, but online we do it via webinars. And it really is a great way to build the anticipation and the desire for the product that you're offering. So we'll get started. And so where this fits into our strategies is kind of down here. We created our signature talk, and now we need to get known. We need to get this out there, and we need to actually sell it. So it's down here in terms of webinars. And, you know, creating a webinar from a logistics standpoint, we can cover that in the next training, or we can cover it here, but it's not as hard as people think. They go, oh my God, it's a webinar. Oh my God, how am I going to do this? And there's so many easy services now that we can use. We can use Zoom. We can use, whoops, forgot to start the backup. Darn. So there's a lot of services that we can use, and you know, Zoom is one of them. Zoom, if you're doing a large webinar, we expect a lot of people, can be quite costly, because they, you know, they charge like $40 a month for the basic, which is, I think, 100 people. But then after that, it goes up substantially. It goes up to like 200 something for 200 people. Then it goes up to like, or I can't remember exactly, but it goes up to, if you wanted like 500 people, you're looking at $350 a month to pay for that. So we don't use Zoom for our offer webinars. We actually use programs that don't charge us extra for extra people. So we'll either use Instant Teleseminar. If I don't care about, you know, them seeing me, if we don't want that interaction, that's fine. Or if I don't want to play a video. But if I want to use something where, you know, we have the option of being able to interact, which creates rapport and it creates comfort level, but you don't have to do it that way, we'll use something like a Webinar Jam. Now, I got a good deal on Webinar Jam ages ago. I paid $297 and I have lifetime access. But now they charge about $500 a year. But it's unlimited numbers of people. So it's much, much less expensive than Zoom. Quality-wise, I like Zoom better. And when we're doing something really special, we will use Zoom. So that's all stuff that we can discuss and determine what the best program is for you to do it. Usually on your very first one, you know, the 100 limitation is not going to be a big deal. So, but my goal for you is to grow it so that, you know, you're doing webinars for 500 people, 1,000 people, et cetera. So that will be a big deal. So we talked about last time in terms of putting together the program is solving their burning problems. You know, how do you be the solution to the what's most on their mind? What keeps them up at night? What gets in the way of what they want most? And how can you help? Now, we're going to bring this in to the webinar because we want to title the webinar. We want our bullet points that we're covering in the webinar to all be focused on really, the term is used, I don't like the term, but aggravate the problem. It's like get them to really see that this is a problem. You know, that this little thing that I thought was just this minor thing is really a problem, and I really do need to address it. So we need to structure our webinar so it gets them to want the solution. And we want to stir emotion. We have to stir emotion. You can't get up there and say, la-di-da-di-da-di-da, and I created this program, and I'd love you to join it. It would be really nice. It'll help me pay the rent this month and join my program, right? You've got to stir their emotion. What is it that their burning pain, their discomfort in their life, however it is doing to prevent them from doing what they really want to do in their life, to prevent them from actually being like, the most effective parent they can be, from having healthy kids and not being at the ER all the time, from having the energy to have this amazing job or career or whatever. We want to stir that emotion so they're going, oh, I really need this fixed. I really need this fixed. And we call it education-based marketing. And a couple of my mentors, Callan Rush and Justin Livingston, are really big at that whole concept of education-based marketing. And in their world, they said that the people that we usually market to are the people that already know they have a problem, already are looking for a solution. We just happen to go in. That's where the easy sales come, right? Oh my God, you have the exact solution that I want. That's about 3% of the people out there that we could be marketing this to. And when we just market to them, it's easy, but it's not very lucrative because they have, that's a very small percentage of all the people who could be serviced by our stuff. There are the people who kind of sort of know they have this problem. They don't realize that it really is a big problem. They're not really looking actively for a solution, but once you put it out there that this really is a problem and you have a solution, they're likely to move in that direction. But there's others that don't even realize it. I mean, they're eating foods that are not organic and no clue. Why? Well, organic costs more and, you know, this stuff doesn't, so I'm just going to buy what's cheaper, right? And you need to be educating them about why it's worth more. What are the costs, the hidden costs of buying the cheaper version of the food versus the more expensive version of the food, just as one example. And, you know, in the case of diabetes and kids with moms with kids with diabetes, well, it's cheaper for them to just go to the doctor and get the insulin and put their kid on insulin and feed them the same crap they've been feeding them their whole life. That's the cheap alternative. But what is the cost of that on their quality of life, but also in their pocketbooks long term? And what's it going to cost them and what's it going to cost this kid, you know, as this kid becomes an adult and doesn't end up being a fully functioning adult and is on mom and dad's tab for a long time because they can't be a fully functioning adult, right? So it's all the reasons why this thing that seems like, oh, it's not just such a big deal, is a big deal. And we have to make it really clear and we have to be able to stir their emotions about it so that they're going to go, oh, I want to do this. It's a no-brainer. I actually want to do this. And there's other things. We need to educate. These webinars can't just be sales pitches. And there are people who do that. And a lot of people are, they're getting sick of it. They're getting tired of coming out to this thing that promises to have all this great education. And all it is a sales pitch. Yeah, you need this, you need this, you need this. And here it is. We don't want to do that. That's not what we want. We want, you know, let's just say 10 to 20%, 30%, 40% of all the people that come to your webinar actually buy your product. We want the other 80 to 50% to walk away with a life, their life changed, with their perspective changed, with useful information that they could go forward with. And someday they may come back and some, they may not. They may just have enough from you in this one educational seminar that they can change their lives. And doesn't that feel good, right? So we have to know that not 100% of the people that show up for something are going to purchase your program, but you want to enrich their lives and educate them regardless. And it's solving a problem. It's getting them out of a situation, a tricky situation that they find themselves in and they're not sure, they're confused, they don't know which way to go. And we want to do that. And we want the webinar to cause them to say, I've got to take action. Whether the action be click the button and sign up for your program or having a list of three things that they're going to start changing in their life tomorrow. You want your webinar to be powerful enough to have them take action, to open their eyes to what the problem is, to educate them, and to really entice them, incite them to take action. And when that happens, you know you've had a successful webinar, regardless of the numbers of sales. And yes, we need to have a certain numbers of sales to people in the program, but those things we can work on, right? We do one and we see what happened, what worked, what didn't. But to me, the success of that is that we are, Elaine just posted me a thing and it made me stop mid-sentence. You're not seeing my slides? Why didn't you tell me that a long time ago? Great.
I didn't know.
Well, you know, I said I was showing slides, so I think this is the one. Now you're seeing them? Okay. So I'm just going to slide backwards a little bit. And this is clearly going to need an editing job. But, you know, so we started with obviously the thing. So where this fits in, you know, I was just showing where this fits in the process is down at the bottom, right? We've gone through all this stuff, identified who you're reaching, created a program, and now we want to get out there. We want to get known. We want to actually sell our product and make a little income. And the burning problems, right? We got to solve their burning problems. We've got to stir their emotion, and we've got to educate them. Get them out of the puzzle. Get them out of the maze. Figure out, help them figure out where to go and how to get there, and then take action, right? So like I said, regardless of whether these folks buy your program or not, you want them to walk away with their lives enhanced, with the commitment to taking action. So your webinar needs to be educational. It needs to stir emotion, but it has to be inspirational. We can't just be la, 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 la. We have to really inspire people based on the way that you structure your webinar to take action. And this is where it kind of fits into our bullseye. We looked at our bullseye with your high-end programs in the middle and your free content on the outside. The webinar is a free content piece, right? We can invite anybody we want to. They can come for free, but we want to get them into ideally a front door product. You can, as you get better with this, get them into a higher end product. It takes a lot more to be able to sell from a webinar into a $2,000 to $5,000 product than it does to sell into a $300 to $500 product. And that's where I'd like to see you start, is positioning your program so that it's in the $300 to $500 range. It could be lower if you want to, but what is the market going to absolutely go, wow, this is irresistible and I want this now? And so on the last training, on training four, if you haven't watched that already, go back and do that and reiterate it. I gave you a worksheet. I gave you a worksheet to help you lay out and break down the pieces of your program. And this is really important as you start to think about the webinar. How do you create a webinar to entice and offer people into a particular program if you don't really know what the program is, right? So we need to have these pieces down, and we're going to use some of these pieces as we structure the webinar to offer it. Obviously, you need to know what the program is called, what problem it solves, who you're going after, who's the target audience, the benefits and the results. And let me just go back to that niche piece, because who's the target audience? The program might benefit a certain group, like kids with ADD, kids with diabetes, whatever, kids with a certain problem, or people who have disabilities and are being cared for by others. But really who this webinar has to be aimed towards is the caregiver, the mom, the dad, the caregiver, the grandparent, whatever. So we really want to be clear on that, because as we describe things, you want to be describing in the language of the person who's going to make the buying decision. So what's the format of the delivery, right? So in these kind of programs, we're kind of looking at a group program so that we can leverage your income. Yeah, you can offer a one-on-one thing from a webinar, but the take is going to be smaller, and you'd want to have an intermediate step of offering them a strategy session with you that then leads them into that. And that's a fine way to go too. If you have an offer that's a group coaching program, this is the ideal format to get people involved and registered for. You want to know how long it is. Is it a 6-week program, a 4-week program, a 12-week program? How many sessions are there going to be, the length of them, how they're delivered, and then whatever else you're going to be including in there, you know, recordings, recipe guides, resources, handouts, etc. And what's the process you're going to take them through, and the pricing. And we went through all of this in our fourth training, and highly recommend you review that as you start to put your webinar together. So what are the components of a webinar? Well, we need a juicy title. We need three main data points. We need a lead into your offer. We need a hook, something that's going to go, oh, you know, something that grabs them and goes, oh yeah, I want that. What are the benefits? What's the downside of not taking action? What's their reason to buy now? what are the components? And that's a short piece, because that's where people end up spending most of their time in a webinar, and that's where you lose people. And there's 47 videos and 27 handouts, and who cares? What's my results, right? And why do I need to buy now? And what's the risk reversal? Is there a guarantee? Is there, you know, a promise? And do they have an ability to get their money back, or to get, you know, continue to get coaching until they get the result? So those are all the pieces. So I want to go through each of these in turn and start with the title. Okay. So the title, when we're in our left brain mode and we're in our teaching mode, we go, oh, let's call the title of this the best way to make salad dressing. Okay, that's kind of boring, right? That's really, really boring. But what if we said, use just some specific components, and I'll show you those on the next page. What if we said something like, the three biggest mistakes that people make in creating salad dressings that makes their kids go yuck instead of ooh? That's a little bit more enticing, right? I just made that up off the top of my head. So we're going to talk about some of those components. So let's look at that, and we'll come back and look at some of these other components as well. So, okay. My slide won't move. There we go. So, okay. I froze. So can you see my slide still? Okay, so on my side where I'm recording it, there it goes. So the first thing is put a number in there. People like numbers. It's finite. It's concrete. Numbers seem to sell better in terms of when people look at the opt-in rates for particular webinars and things like that. So what's a number? Not 27 ways to blah, 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 blah. 22 reasons for. No, 3 is a really good number, 5 at the most, because once, oh, that was lovely. I didn't touch anything, I promise. Once you get into a position where you've got 7, 8, 10 things, it takes too long to thoroughly explain them to get them excited about it. So 3 tends to be really good. 5 is okay too. So we want the 3. So the 3 what? Well, mistakes, myths, dangers, blunders, dangerous trends, secrets, strategies, 3 to 5 somethings that's going to get people to go, huh, I wonder what that is. Mistakes and myths and blunders and those sorts of things really do attract people, because they want to know, even if they feel like, I know this, I know how to make salad dressing. I've been making salad dressing for 27 years. Oh, but what are the top 3 mistakes people make? Huh, I wonder if I'm making any of those mistakes. So even if somebody thinks they know, they're interested because they want to know about the myths and the mistakes and the blunders and all those things. So you can use terms that are more descriptive. So the 3 massive mistakes, the 4 dangerous myths, the 5 dangers, the 3 blunders, the dangerous trends that's already there, the secrets, let's say the success making secrets, or the little known secrets, or some kind of adjective before these words. You don't have to, but it tends to make them more appealing. And, you know, use judgment when you're coming up with your title. And then you want to mention the audience. So, for example, the 3 dangerous mistakes that busy moms make, the 3 myths that most women believe, the three dangerous blunders that college students make. So you want to name that audience, right? So for example, moms or parents of diabetic, type 1 diabetics would be that egoic label, is what it's called. That label that you would name that person. Holistic practitioners is another name. It could be exhausted overachievers. It could be busy moms. It could be competitive business owners, anything at all that names the person, so they go, oh, I think I'm in the right place. This is for me. And I'm curious about those mistakes. But then you want to tie it together to the consequences or the rewards, right? So what is the consequence of these mistakes? What is the rewards of the reward of knowing these secrets? So the consequence might be three massive mistakes that parents of diabetic kids make that put their kids at danger of dying. And that's really extreme. You're not going to use that, but that put their kids at danger of, right? Or that put them at, you know, risk of. These are the kind of things that you want them to see in the title. Whoa, I can't miss that. I really want to be there for that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically it in creating a title. I have some title templates that I've gotten over the years, and I'm going to try going through some more of those, and we'll do that in our next, part two, so I can give you some examples. But I've given you examples off the top of my head. I can give you some examples. But what I would encourage you to do is start to look around. Look around at all the, hey, we're having a webinar next week. Look at the ones that have really effective titles that make you go, wow, I want to go to that. And the others that go, no big deal, right? Really discern between those, because that's what you want. You want your people to go, oh, wow, that's for me. I really want to know about that. Nope, I don't want my kid to have risk factors. I don't want my kid to increase their risk of dying. I don't want to end up in the hospital. I don't want to end up whatever. I don't want my kids to spit out the salad dressing and say yuck and then want to eat Cheetos instead, right? So giving those things. Does that make sense so far? The next thing I want to talk about is the data points. So that's the three or five, whatever you've named, data points that you're going to present. So the three biggest mistakes, right? So now mistake number one, two, and three. Usually you present these in the order, the reverse order of importance. So you start with the least important and go to the most important. And usually you want to present them in a way that the third one is most fitting of what you're offering. So maybe the other two are connected to what you're offering, but that third one leads them like right into it. Like, oh my God, that's it. And now she has a solution for me. So with each data point, you want to go through what is it? So what's the first mistake? The first mistake, I did this once for a practitioner thing, and I called it three biggest mistakes that lead to ineffective marketing. I don't remember the exact one. So mistake number one was spray and pray marketing. Well, you present it. What is spray and pray marketing? Well, that's when you take your card and you throw it in somebody's box. You send out mailings. You just put it out there and hope for the best. Why is that important? Well, and then why is that an important piece to know not to do? It's costly. It's not effective. People don't see it. You're not getting in front of people. Now, what are the ramifications if you continue to do this? Well, you're not going to get new clients. You're going to get a reputation as being some salesy, pushy person that just throws their stuff in your face, et cetera, et cetera. And then what action can you take instead? And this is where you can tie in some of the solutions that you offer in your program. So let's do a real example here for, diabetic moms. One of the big moms of diabetics, one of the big mistakes they make is they believe that they can feed their kids anything as long as they just make sure they adjust their insulin, right? So what does that mean? Well, the doctor says, well, it doesn't matter what they eat. You just make the insulin go up. And then if the insulin takes the blood sugar too low, you just give them some sugar to bring it back up. And if it goes too high and you're in this yo-yo, how can that be helpful? And then you talk about why it's so important that we address this, that this is a bad mistake and what the ramifications are of that. What is it doing to the kids' blood vessels? What is it doing to the kids' brain? What risk is it putting them at for going too low and they can't get them back up and they end up in the hospital? What is it doing at the high levels and leading to blindness, et cetera, et cetera? What are the ramifications? And what can they do instead? And the action can be something unrelated to your program or related to your program. Ideally, it's something related to your program, because then you come back around and you're tying it in. Well, an action would be to learn how to manage their sugars to keep them in a tight range so they don't need too much insulin and they don't have the risk of going too low, blah, blah, blah. So this is what you present for each of your data points. And then you move on to point number two. And then you move on to point number three. And then once you've created your data points, you're going to do this transition, right? A lead in to your offer. So I've taught you about this. One of the things you may not have realized before you came in was that all the symptoms that you're experiencing, the brain fog, the fatigue, the low energy, the extra weight around your middle, are all related to blood sugar imbalance. Hopefully it's clear by now that that's an underlying cause. But how do you get your blood sugar balanced? Well, I have some solutions. And then you go into a little bit of your solution before you actually give them the offer, right? So here's the top three points. Now, what are some of the things we can do about this? And you address it in a way that like almost outlines your program, right? Instead of saying, and I have a program that does this, this, and this, you're making them realize this is how you address it. We address it with step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. You don't have to go into a lot of detail, but these are the steps we need to take. Now, there's a lot more here that I don't have time to cover in this hour that we have together. It would take me a little bit longer to explain all these and give you the resources. That's why I created this program called blah, 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 blah. And I'd love to tell you a little bit about that and see if it's something that you are interested in following up with. And when you do that, you ask their permission, right? A hook is something that you can use as part of this lead-in, or it's something that really grabs their attention. Throw out some statistics about how many kids that develop type 1 diabetes before the age of 10 end up developing kidney failure or blindness or whatever. Like something like, you may not realize why it's so important. Your kid is 7 years old. The doctor just gave you this diagnosis, gave you a tool to do it. And this is what all the other diabetic moms are doing, or moms of diabetic. I keep saying diabetic moms, but why is that not a good idea? Hook them in. Like, this is what you are leading your kid to. Is that what you want for your kid? No. Right. And then you go into the benefits. Now, when you take action here, you're keeping the blood sugar steady all day long. What you're doing is keeping the insulin from going too high. And we know that insulin damage is da, da, da. You're keeping the blood sugar from going too high, which can cause this, or too low, which can cause them to go into a coma. You're keeping their cells nourished, so they're less likely to develop the downside effects, right? And what happens if you don't take action? What's the downside? You look at the cost. You look at the cost financially, you look at the cost emotionally, you look at the health cost, you look at the pain of losing a kid or having a kid almost on death, right? Why do you want to do this now? That's the other piece. And what I didn't say at the beginning, and we can go into this more in our next segment, is the very specific mechanics, is before you get to your data points, you want to do an intro. You want to do your story that hooks them in as well. Right? I understand you. I know you. I am you. You have a kid who's diabetic. Me too. Here's what happened to me. And I don't want this to happen to you. Here's some of the mistakes that can prevent you, you know, when you address these mistakes, and then you go into it. Short, sweet, to the point, why they're there, why they're going to get a lot out of it. And then you want to go into, why do they want to buy now? Well, because for the next 48 hours, I'm also offering my XYZ, and that's where you know bonuses, right? When you're laying out what's in your program, what are some of the bonuses? What are some quick action bonuses? What's a cost savings if they act now? But then also the reason is tying in the emotional reasons too, like, well, how long do you want to wait before your kid gets the attention, the internal like grooming that they need, the cleaning that they need, the nourishment that they need? How long do you want to wait? So reasons to buy now, they called that the urgency, creating urgency, like, oh, I better do this. And as much as I'm not a big fan of this, like, I don't know, scare tactics and push tactics, this works, but it works, and you have to think about it. You're not manipulating them. What you're doing is encouraging them to make a decision they need to be making. You're not trying to get them to buy that car that's way over their price budget just because it looks beautiful, when they could have this much lower priced car instead and it will function and do all the right things. You're offering them something that's going to change the quality of their life. And you want to get them to see that and see the urgency. So when we create scarcity, which is the first 5 people can get this, we only have 10 seats in the program, or you create urgency from the standpoint of something additional that they're going to get, where we have these 3 bonuses. We have special pricing until midnight on Friday, whatever that is. But why do you want them to buy now? And then you tell them a little bit about the program. So this program, you know, I talked to you about why these 5 steps are so important for solving this problem. My program covers, in first one, we cover this one. In number 2, we cover this one. In number 3, we cover this one. 4, we cover this one. 5, we cover this one. And it's going to be easy for you to do because we've made it online. You can miss a class and no worries, you can watch the replay. The replays will be available to you 24/7. So you're making big deals of the little things that you're just taking for granted. Well, of course it's a replay. Of course there's this, right? You want to make a big deal of it. You don't want to make a big deal that there's 27 videos for you to watch. These are busy people. They would prefer to get it in one if they could, right? But it's going to take more. So you make it like, and then we're going to show you how to make the food. And I have some video recordings on how to make the food. We're going to show you some recipes that you can just pop right in. If there's some specific favorites that your kids have, you can exchange ingredients and we'll teach you how to do that. And we're going to teach you. This is it. It's going to make your life easier, better, healthier. You'll be smarter, whatever the promise is. And then you go into risk reversal. So as you're thinking about creating your webinar, you want to be thinking about what are these pieces, right? We'll add the intro there. And there's some more nuances here in the middle, but these are the main things you want to be thinking about. And when you're thinking about your program, when you're thinking about offering it, there's these pieces you want to lay out. You want to have the facts about your program all laid out for yourself so that you can pop it into the right place in the webinar. So what are those bonuses and what are their values? And what are those benefits that the person's going to get from this? What are the components, obviously? How do you state those components and those bonuses like we did with the title in a juicy way that's going to make them seem real appealing? The we're going to give you a shopping guide. What if you called it something else? What if you called it the busy person's guide to shopping for healthy foods with ease, or, you know, something along those lines that really puts the benefits in there, right? The busy mom's guide to giving your kid a snack. And I'm just throwing this out there, but some way to put it, like giving your kids the snacks that will bring their blood sugar up without overshooting the mark, right? Or the guide to fast food, how to eat fast food healthfully. You know, how can you create names of your pieces of your program so that each piece stands out, that people go, oh yeah, that sounds good. I need that. I want that. Okay. And then that's it. We went through it. That's all I have for today. So what I'd love to do is to workshop this. Now let's just throw out some titles and let's just brainstorm some titles and come up with what we think are titles that would be real super helpful and would call people in, right? Who's your audience? Naming your audience, etc. Who else is on? Can you stop that? And I can stop the share screen. I can find it. Where's the thing? Oh, here it is. Stop share. All right. What's that thing there? All right. Is that helpful? Yeah. Okay. So, Annette, would you like to get on the hot seat here and just like brainstorm some titles?
Okay. Pretty funny. I was writing stuff and then you were saying almost the same thing.
Ooh.
So it must be right. So I liked my three, I did my three blunders as a parent of a type one. Then the first one was how they.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you right there. It has to be about them.
Okay.
Right. So the top three blunders that parents of type one make, you can pull it into you and how you made these. Right. And that could be part of your story, but I would make the title be about them. What mistakes are they making and what's the benefit? And also what's the consequence? Right. So, you know, you mentioned the number, you mentioned the blunders, et cetera. You mentioned the audience, but you didn't mention the consequence. Now, if you were to say my top three blunders as a parent that, caused me to almost lose my kid. That could be powerful, even though it's not about them. It's about you.
Right.
Right. The top three blunders I made as a parent of a type one that caused me to almost lose her. You know, right away, you've got their emotions.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't know about the type one at the time we almost lost her. You know, I learned about the diabetes after.
And then I would use a different title.
I mean, I like that, but I don't think I can, because it implies that she had the diabetes. We knew it. And then
you made the mistakes. Yes. Right. Yeah. I would make it about them then. I would make the top three blunders parents of type one diabetics make that caused them to put their kids at risk.
Okay.
Or that put their kids at risk of serious long-term complications. You can maybe wordsmith it to shorten it a little bit, but that you want those four components in your title. And if they're missing any one of them, it lacks a lot of that appeal. See, when I added that consequence to your original title, it went, whoa.
Right.
Right. What did she do? And am I doing it too?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And did you want to know my three?
Yeah.
Okay. So the eat and cover, which is what they call eating whatever they want and taking whatever.
Yeah. That's perfect. Cause when you say eat and cover, top one is eat and cover. And then people who don't know necessarily. And what that is blah, blah, blah. And then you explain that out. That's the full explanation. Why is that a problem? This is why it's a problem. Right. And what can we do instead?
Okay. But I also, okay. So we'll do that and then I'll come back and tell you my, that we didn't get the continuous glucose monitor sooner because that was a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
how do we say that? Reliance on a finger prick monitor rather than continuous glucose monitor.
They also call it like poker, that. So we'll go with poker.
Poker, they call it a poker.
Poker and a meter, so we'll go with poker and a meter.
Yeah. Reliance on a poker and a meter. You could just call it that, right? And then you can explain. Then you talk about the continuous, right? So that as you say that, you just have a slide that says reliance on a poker and a meter. And they're going, well, how else am I going to know what the kid's blood? So it creates a question. You go, what is that? Well, you just do this. And here's the thing. You're missing, you know, the info all in between and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, with the new continuous meters and how easy they are to get, everyone should be on a continuous meter. And this is how it helped me in my situation with my kid.
The third one, I think I'll have to change because pulling it in as the caregivers also, I had put that I didn't take care of me. But I don't, you know, while that's a piece, I don't know. I need to throw that out now.
Mm-mm. Let me think about that.
Because the parents don't take care of them.
They don't.
You know, we don't sleep. We're up at all hours. Okay, me not so much as the others, but they're up you know, they're setting alarms 2 and 3 times.
Well, I don't know if we can come up with a nice name for that. I don't think it's a problem because that will lead you to your program, right?
Right.
Then I think it could be a good lead in. So how do you name it in such a way that they go, you know, oh yeah, like a self-care, blah, 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 blah. What is it? You know, putting myself aside, or I would relate it to them, relate it to the kid, right? So, you know, the kind of thing where you can say, and I didn't have enough energy, you know, or not having enough energy to take care of my kid because I wasn't taking care of me and not maybe making the best decisions possible in these life or death, potentially life or death situations where we know that with lack of sleep and lack of self-care and lack of good nutrition, the brain doesn't work properly to make those quick decisions that we as diabetic caregivers need to be able to make.
Okay.
Right. And I could know all this stuff and you can know all the stuff I've taught you and can teach you. But if you're not taking care of you in the mix, you're not going to be able to access that information quickly enough to take care of this kid the best you can. So I think it's actually a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it is key and it is one of their top, you know, you see it on everything.
Yeah.
How many times y'all getting up at night? How long do y'all sleep? You know, so that's huge.
Yeah. And you tie that in and when you're not sleeping and when you're not. And what if we can create a situation at home where you didn't have to be up all night because you felt that your kid was safe, that you had your continuous blood sugar meter and you were eating in a way that kept more steadiness. You could actually get a good night's sleep. How would that feel, right? How would that feel to be present for your other kids, right? How would it feel to be present for your partner? This kind of diagnosis puts a huge strain on relationships. And then there's the bickering, and then that takes away from the focus on this kid. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I know. I like it. I think it's a good one.
Another piece, when you were talking about the cost of not doing this, there, I think another cost that has to be included, because again, it's a big piece for everybody, is the actual cost of the insulin, and it keeps going up.
Mm-hmm. And it's not 100% covered by insurance. Is it copay or something?
It really depends. Yeah. It's all over the board. Some people it is 100%. Some people pay 100% out of pocket. It's just, there's no consistency.
So here's what I would do. I would say, I think it's a great one. And I think that I'd kind of put in some conscience there because people go, I don't care. My insurance covers it. But the truth of the matter is the insurance keeps, the insulin keeps going up, and yes, your insurance may cover it, but there are other people down the street that are not going to be able to support it, and they're maybe scrimping on it, whatever. It may be affecting others. So let's think just beyond you. It's that whole overall, if we're that reliant on insulin and it's in short supply and the price keeps going up, this is a problem.
And your insurance can change anytime.
That's right. I would bring all those things in there.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that it goes in the first three as the three blunders, no. But I think it needs,
no,
because it keeps, it's a real hot topic right now.
Yeah. And that's something to in the eat and cover, right? We want to reduce the insulin, not just because insulin is dangerous in high quantities, not just because it stiffens the blood vessel linings, not just because it impacts the brain and can lead to Alzheimer's because of the, you know, and you can mention the thing about the amyloid, the enzyme that breaks down amyloid is the same one that breaks down insulin. So you're taking diverting attention from their brain working into this. But not only that, but the cost of insulin keeps going up. And not only that, we're short supply. And then blah, blah, blah. Then you can I would tie it in there for sure. Absolutely. Cool.
Because it needs to. So
it needs to be said, yes.
Yeah, more than once.
More than once. Everything needs to be said more than once. They won't hear it at least 3 times. 7 is what's really, you know, in conventional brain wisdom, right? You need to hear something 7 times before you really it really sinks in. Right. Right. Just for genius, and then, you know, maybe only 4.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so that's really good.
And I think that was the three.
Yep. Yep. And then think about your hook. Like, think about how do you transition from that to your offer in terms of, let me summarize, right? Let me summarize on, there's Allie, yeah. Let me summarize on the steps that you can take. Like, let's just take, you know, five steps or what, and look back at your program, the way you've laid it out. And then just say, these are the things, this is the way you get this under control. And then you lay out the steps, not mentioning your program at this point, but you're hooking them in. You're giving them some action. So even if they walk away, they've got something. And this is not easy. Let me just tell you, this has taken me this many years of studying and trial and error, and I want to make it easier for you. So I put this together in a nice succinct package, and we call it the blah, blah, blah system.
Okay.
And here's how you can get access to this. And here's the benefit of doing it, you know, so you go back to this list here, where'd it go? Right. There's the benefit. Why you need to take action. Here's why I'm going to give you incentive to do it now. I care about your kids. Same way I care about my kid. I care about your kids. And I don't want to see these kids suffering. And the truth of the matter is, and throw in the statistics, X number of kids die. X number of kids get chronic, long-term complications, kidney issues, blindness, etc. I don't want that for your kids. Do you? And that's why I'm going to make it easier for you than it was for me. I put together this thing. It's a package. It's 6 weeks long. I'm going to take you through step by step. Boom, 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 boom. And every week we're going to have, you know, a different lesson, and we're going to give you some action steps to take. We're going to provide recipes. I'm going to provide blah, 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 blah. And if you miss a class, no worries. Everything's recorded. Download it. You can listen to it over and over again on your iPhone, you know, as you're going along waiting for a kids in an appointment, and, you know, like all the benefits of the simple little stuff that, you know, yeah.
Okay.
And then you just, yeah, you've got it. It's just a matter of laying it out. And
yep. Yep.
Going for it, practicing it, you know, doing it a couple of times, not expecting the first time to be like the winner, right? What did you learn from the first time? What could you do better the next time? You know, and you got it. So, okay. So when do you do it? When are we scheduling this?
We haven't yet.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't scheduled it. So,
okay. So you told me when we first started working together that you worked well with deadlines.
I do. It is not going to be this month because I'm
busy. No, it's not. No. I was guessing February.
Okay, so I was just thinking February myself. Mm-hmm. That gives me time to move and get settled. November would have been good because it's diabetes month, but that didn't happen. So, okay.
Yeah, and you want to, okay, so whenever you're scheduling to do a webinar, you want to go backwards from it, right? So if it's, you know, whatever the date is, you want to give yourself like at least 3 weeks beforehand to create the marketing copy for it, to send out the emails, to post it on Facebook, to let people know about it, to build up some stuff before you even announce that you're having a webinar, like to send, oh, this article about this and this article about that, and, you know, to get people ready and waiting for it. And then you sign them up.
Okay.
And then you make the offer, and you can do the webinar multiple times. So you can say, I'm going to do this on Wednesday night. And then you see how people go. And then you go, well, I'm going to do this on Friday afternoon or Thursday afternoon. I'm going to do it on Saturday morning. So you can split it up so certain people like Allie can't make an evening one. She'll come to the afternoon one or the Saturday one. People who work during the week are not going to be able to come to some of them, or they have this, that, and the other thing. So I like to do it three times and give them. Now, when we get better at this, you just do it once and then you play it again. But generally speaking, unless you get, you know, 50% conversion on your first webinar, in which case I'd say, don't bother doing it again. Just take that puppy and use her over and over and over again. Yes. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, February it is.
Yeah. So look at the dates and then go backwards from there. I would say mid-February, maybe early February.
Yeah, that's what I was. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then, so go through and, you know, create, you've got your points. So create some, you know, slides. When you're creating slides, don't make them too data heavy, especially for this. Make the slides. There's a really good book called Presentation Zen. I got it on my iPad, on the Kindle. And it talks about the goal of these slides is not to have a gazillion data points on them. Like for this, if I had taken my time, I would not have put all of these on one, but I was in a hurry and I threw them on one. What I'm learning to do is one bullet per slide with visual that gets people, like, really ties in that point, right? And then people go, and then you can talk about it. You don't feel like they're not looking at your, they're going, trying to see it and try to read it ahead and all this. One bullet point, one phrase on a slide with some really good graphics. And that's what keeps people's attention throughout a presentation. I did that. I don't know if you noticed, but I did that a lot more at Shine. I mean, of course, some of them were just pictures of charts, but I did that a lot more at Shine. I'm doing it a lot more in my presentations. Right. And like I said, if I had taken a little more time, I'm going to redo these and I'll do it again in January and we'll have the pieces down. But now you have a recording of it and we'll make the official one in January with the official slides. Yeah. Good. So you missed it, Allie. We just talked about the components of our webinar for selling, and I won't bore you with the rest of this, but okay. Yeah. But started with these, the juicy title, the three main data points, the lead into the offer, the hook, the benefits, downside of not taking action, reason to buy now, program components, and risk reversal. And so the juicy title components, right? A number. So Annette, you want to share the one that we're, you sort of crafted? It's almost there.
I think you're muted.
I had to unmute.
You're muted, yeah.
Yeah.
You can hear me now, though, right? Top three blunders parents of type 1 diabetics make that put their kids at risk for long-term complications.
That's compelling.
It's compelling. It's got a number. It's got some kind of mistakes, myths, blunders, secrets, you know, something that creates curiosity. It names the audience, and then it says the consequences. And I was saying that if you miss any one of these, like the first one she came out with didn't have the consequences, like, so what, who cares, right? But when you put the consequence in, and when you name the audience, sometimes it may not be a specific audience, but, you know, tired people, you know, perimenopausal, hot, sweaty executives, you know, whatever that might be. But naming the audience has people, they really... they relate to it. They relate to it and they want to know more. And then we looked at the main data points, and these are important, that the data points be those three or five, whatever the number is, and that you go through them and you go, well, here's mistake number one. What is that mistake? Why is it important? What are the ramifications and what action can you do differently? And you do this for each of your data points, and then that flows naturally into your offer. And then your offer leads with, sorry, I should have had these on separate slides, that your offer then leads with some kind of hook, you know, something to tie them together, some way of saying, oh, and so now that you know these mistakes, here's the top five steps to take to do it differently. And those steps happen to be, guess what? The modules in your program. So you're getting them ready for the modules in your program. So then when you actually mention your program and say that there's these steps, they go, oh, those are the steps she said. And you tie it back. Remember I said this step number one, then, well, that's what we do in module one. And this is why it's important. That's what we do in module two, three, four, five, whatever. Anyway, that's in a nutshell.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And like I said at the beginning, because so few people were going to make it today and I didn't have a whole lot of time to put all the prep I wanted to into doing this, that we'll do it again in January and we'll kind of summarize all this and then maybe take it deeper on some of the other points, like give you examples and things like that.
Yeah.
But you've done your program, and one of the things you can do is look at it and say, how can I, you know, tweak it to fit into this framework? right? How do I tweak my webinar to fit into this framework? And, you know, it's natural. It's natural that we make this transition so that people know from the tone of our voice and from our posture or whatever, oh, now that she's going to make an offer. She just transitioned from information into offer. And what if we could make that so seamless that they don't even know? They don't even know.
Right? Should be the aim for sure.
I would say that if you, I don't know if she has, if she offers it as a replay, but Claudia, who's in ERC, did one on vision. And I was only on the first one through the end, but she did an amazing job of putting this all together. It was educational through and through, but everybody was like, yeah, I want to join that program. Right? But the education was key, but not overly in depth. And she did a beautiful job. And I know she's done some studying with the same people I've studied with. And she did a beautiful job. Beautiful job. So if she has that available, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I must admit the best brainstorming I've done has been with using Kellen's free ebook. So
That book, 250 pages of
it's incredible.
Gold. I know.
Gold.
No. Yet she gave all that information.
She gave all that information away.
Sells millions of dollars worth of the program.
Yeah. Well.
Right? So we can't be afraid to give information. We just don't want to have it do too much or so much that people walk away and go, all right.
I've been working on it for 3 years and I haven't worked my way through it and finished it yet. So
it's a really
and when I finished it, I'll sign up with her. Well,
I think she has these templates in that, doesn't she? A lot of the title. Is it still available? Can they still download it?
I would have thought so.
I'll have to ask her. Ask her where they can, because I can just get people. I've mentioned it a few times when they did launches. You know, I said, okay, download this ebook. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So I had two things happen this week that are relevant. Mm-hmm. One is that on last Sunday, a week ago, one of my networking friends messaged me and asked me if I was free on Friday, because the lady she usually does a joint workshop with called Midlife Mayhem was not able to do it because I don't know why, and asked if I could step in. So I cancelled my afternoon locum and went and did a talk on menopause.
Nice.
To a group of invested women who are about seven people.
Nice.
And then the second thing, so that was Friday.
So did you use something? How long did you have to do it? Because this kind of format can work for everything, whether you're making an offer or not.
Yeah,
you still lead them to these are the steps that's required.
Yeah, exactly. It was an hour. And then on Monday, I got a phone call at 8:25 to say, would I be prepared to talk on BBC Radio Sussex?
Whoa. because
there was a documentary on BBC One that evening, Monday evening, about menopause. And this guy had found me on the internet. So circling back to the workshop, I kept hoping I had these visions of my talk, and I kept hoping I'd be able to put this talk together, and time ran out, and I came to midnight the night before looking at the webinar that I did for the menopause. And frankly, when I look at that webinar, I am amazed that anybody signed up, because it was so atrocious. I was just so panicky. I didn't want to sell. I just did it from funnel scripts, which was as salesy as it gets. And it was incredible that I actually had anybody on that course. And in the end, at the talk, I spent most of the time talking around the pyramid with the foundations in the bottom. Mm. I mean, I didn't need any other slides, because you can talk about that and ask questions and have it interactive for an hour. So I did show some other slides, but the other slides lost people because I was trying to, basically, I was supposed to have an hour. But because I was running late because the traffic was so bad and the locum I did in the morning was so much longer than I expected it to be, I was half an hour late, so I squeezed it into half an hour. But although I wasn't allowed to sell, I didn't get people's email addresses. I didn't do it properly. I had my smoothie ebook card, and they handed that around and took them home instead of filling them in.
Oh no.
And I had my free session application form, but again, they just packed it with their
you
stuff.
You have access information on there that they can contact you and say, yeah. Send this.
Yeah.
To, okay.
Yeah. And during the conversation after the talk, there was one girl saying, this is so much, where do I start? And I was thinking, this is my 12-month program. I've got to do it this year. So, yeah. You know, I've got to do. So I plan to relaunch the menopause course in January.
Good.
And then go on. I mean, I could see, you know, after just half an hour, they were sort of saying, and I was sort of saying, what you need is a community of people like this. And they would say, well, where do I have a community of people like this? And I was like, well, I'm going to make one, but I'm not allowed to sell it, to tell you about it, you know, because I was only standing in for somebody else who's also already joint venturing with that lady. But it just
so let's brainstorm a way that you can handle a question like that will let them know without selling it. Like, what did you say? Like, what specifically? So they said, you said that you need a community.
Yeah.
And what did you say to that? Where do I find it?
I just said, I didn't say anything, but I was thinking, that's my community, that's my tribe, that's the community that I've been intending to create on Facebook with my... you know, with my whole business plan.
Okay, so let me just go through intending or are. Are there people in your community on Facebook who are chatting about menopause?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're not
and
in
you
my
have a community.
Okay.
You have a community. It may not be as developed as you want it to be. It may not be where you want it to be, but you have a community.
Yeah.
Okay? So the answer was, you know, I'll give you my Facebook. You can go check it out on Facebook. We have a lot of women who come together and we chat about it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You're not selling anything. You're just sending them to your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You did them a favor by stepping in at the last minute. They can't be mad at you for engaging people. You didn't make a direct offer. There's a difference. So we need to differentiate when you're not allowed to make a direct offer for a sale, but you can still do networking.
Yeah.
You can say, well, I can't tell you my name because I don't want them to know, because then you might follow up with me and that might be construed as an offer, right? That would be silly, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you say, oh, I have a Facebook community that would really serve you well. Why don't you, you know, come just look me up on Facebook. They have the card. They have your card. Just look me up on Facebook. Or if you have a card that has your Facebook handle on it. Then we have a group on Facebook. Is it a group or is it a page where you communicate?
I've got a page and I'm creating a group. I'm just trying to sort of structure the free, like your unstoppable health.
So I'm going to tell you to stop thinking about it and just start it.
Okay.
Don't think about it. Don't structure it. Don't do anything with it. We got the idea. What are we calling it? Okay, it's up. How many members do we have? Well, Lynn and I are members now. That's cool. Right? Right? That's how it starts. That's how it starts. Right? You just do it. It takes seconds to set up a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Know what you want to call it. That's all you need to know. And you know what? If you screw that up, you can even change that later. We started out with one called Digestive Mastery because it was going to be like a support for when we did our launch for Digestive Mastery, decided that we just wanted it to be more general. Now it's called Nutritional Endocrinology for Health Practitioners. It was a simple change, right?
Yeah.
Put up a pretty new banner. Now it's Nutritional Endocrinology for Health Practitioners. So It's hard to make a mistake. Who is it that you listen to as well? Take imperfect action.
Yeah.
None is better than perfect, right?
Yes, that's Alex Mandosian's thing.
So I have a Facebook community. Go here, find out more. And you know what the thing about it is, Allie? Facebook advertises for you. You have a group. How many times are you going to see it? And anybody that's anything related to menopause, if you name it right, they're going to go, oh, you might also like this community.
Yeah.
And groups are the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm learning about challenges. I'm going to do my first Facebook challenge in probably the end of January, beginning of February. And I've got a friend who knows how to do them. She gave me some information about it. Our Facebook person is going to help. And I'll let you know what blunders I make and how it works. But it's a great way to create this engagement and then get them to share. And then you can sell. She actually makes offers from that because it's much cheaper than doing a full-on launch. I just do this thing and then I offer my program at the end.
Yeah.
So it's great ways to do it. The 3-day, hot flash challenge, hot flash exterminate. What's the word? Extinguishing challenge or 5-day or whatever. Right. I'm going to do something called the keto green challenge because everybody's into keto, but everybody's doing it wrong in my opinion. And show them how to do it in a healthy way. And it's kind of a lead in to Sweet Spot, which we're going to be offering middle of March.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. We were going to do it in February, but we found an affiliate manager who can help us, and she can't do it till the middle of February. And then she said there were some other things going on that will make it easier for us to do it and get more affiliates for it in March. So anyway, that's what we're doing.
Cool.
Right? So that's a great way to do it. So you have it. You already have a Facebook community. It's your fan page.
Yeah.
All right? Create it as a group because the group engages more conversation. The page is... people don't really converse on the pages.
Yeah, and they've sort of moved away from groups so that from pages rather, so that nothing you post on the page shows to anybody.
That's right. And you hook them up. So there's a thing I found by mistake.
I've got four Facebook groups.
And what's the problem? I already have a community. Say it. I have a community. We have some amazing women just get together and talk about their menopausal journeys and it support each other. I'd love for you to join us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You got this.
Yeah.
You just don't realize it. Yeah. You're a voice out there. You're a voice of reason and reckoning and intelligence and compassion in a sea of mess.
Yeah.
And you will stand out. You just have to get there. You have to put yourself there and put yourself in that vulnerable position. And you know how it feels. You're a perfectionist. You want everything to be perfect. And you just sit in a place where you can be comfortable with just being out there and hanging out there in your dirty t-shirt, if that's what it takes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like that with my face. I should be doing Facebook Lives every day. But it's like, oh, my hair looks crappy today. I got to get it cut. It's all straight. It's all yicky. It's all dirty. It's all this. And then I don't.
Yeah, I've done that for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So if you're going to relaunch in January, let's just be practical here, right?
Yeah.
What are the steps you need to do to get there? You need to redo your webinar. You can use this format. You can use whatever formats you've been acquiring over the years in your much, much marketing education.
Yes.
I think this is one of the simplest ones.
Yeah. So redo the webinar, create the autoresponders.
Mm-hmm.
Contact JV partners.
Mm-hmm. Let's pick a date. Because you have to have a date in order to contact anybody.
Yeah.
So the date that you're going to do this webinar to offer this program again is?
Just look at that. So... January the 7th?
Ouch! There's no way you're going to do it January 7th.
Okay.
It's too soon. It's way too soon. You've got more work to do than that.
Okay.
I'm going to, no.
So more like 21st or 28th. Those are Mondays.
I'd go for the 28th. It gives you more time.
Okay.
But this is a hard commitment. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with the title. All right. And then I just want you to start posting it in your Facebook groups and on your Facebook page. Save the date. I'll give you the more details as it comes. It's going to be on the 28th of January, this, and I'm going to be doing this webinar called X. I'll get you more details as it gets closer.
Okay.
Put it on your calendar. And anytime you do a Facebook Live, you can end it with, and if you want, you know, to get into more of these details, put this on your calendar. I'll send you the information. Or if you can do this, this is what I did once when I didn't know what the hell my program was going to be, but I knew I was going to do it and I knew when I was going to do it. I put out a thing like, here, just put your name here, name and email address here, and you'll be on the early reminder list, and I'll let you know as soon as possible, as soon as I know, as soon as I have all the details. And then you start collecting a list of people that are interested. And you can easily do an opt-in, right? You know how to do an opt-in. Simple opt-in that says, hey, thanks for giving me. I'll give you the information as soon as we have it. And then as soon as you have it, you send those people an email. And you could even, if you want to get a little kind of gimmicky, you can say, you know, since you signed up early, the first 100 people that signed up for this webinar, I'm going to give this access to this free whatever book, smoothie book, recipe thing, checklist for what to do when you get a hot flash, whatever you have, whatever you already have, not to create something new.
Yeah.
Whatever you already have. And you don't have to do that part. I'm just saying that that could be a, you know, put your name and email address here. You'll be on the early release gift list. And we're going to give, you know, a special gift to the first responders. Then you'll get an idea of how many people are interested. Then you can also poll these people as you get closer. You know, like I'm thinking about this. I only have time for three top points, and these are the four that I'm thinking about. Which ones are you most interested in? Or, you know, something like that to just, it's the idea is to create connection and engagement before you even get there. And I'm just making this stuff up off the top of my head. It's just coming to me. So take it for what it is. You know, just some ideas. But I want you to keep it simple. Now you have 2 months to get this together. You have two full months to get this together. Mm-hmm. Map it out. When do you, if you're going to do it on the 21st or the 28th, what's the, so say the 28th, when do you want to send your first announcement out about it?
Okay.
And put that on your calendar. So you have to be ready, right? When do you want the opt-in page and the whatever else you need done?
Yeah.
There's something about making a commitment. There's something about committing to a date. You kind of have to do it. In my opinion, some people cancel, but I don't doing that kind of stuff. Once I tell somebody I'm going to do it and I have announced it, it's happening.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
You guys got it. You were the perfect people to come to this call today. It was perfectly suitable for me to do this because you both needed this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And I'll probably do the whole thing over again. I'll redo the slides and we'll just have a replacement for, you know, but this will be up there.
Yeah. Right.
Good. All right, guys. Any other questions before we say goodbye?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see it. I want to see your slides, your outline, your, you know, fill out your data point. You know, if you do this thing where you just write it out, right, before you do slides, you just take, here's your top data point. What? You just put some points down. You know, why is it important? What's the ramifications of not doing this? What can you do instead? And you just kind of write that. It makes for just much, so much easier when you get down to actually make the presentation.
I would suggest having a practice run.
Mm-hmm.
You can meet with us. You, if you have some friends or whoever, just get one.
I think it's a great idea.
And just do it. First of all, because I remember the first time I did something, I thought I was going to throw up. And And so I did that. And that just, it's like, it took away that angst of having to be on. And it just helped me to relax. And so if you do that first, you know, your body, that muscle memory will kick in, and you'll be okay when you do it. And you have that moment of brain fog going, what was I supposed to say there? And so, and you can record it if you want to.
Yeah, record. Oh, for sure. I would do it on Zoom, for sure, because you want to watch yourself back. I would say that the other thing that you'll hear when you do that, you go, oh, I want to do that a little differently. I don't like the way I wrote that one. I'm going to do that one differently. And then it's not the live one. Like I said to Annette, it is a good idea to do things, do it three times. I find that, you know, I get more and more people. Actually, I think we end up with the highest number of people registering on the third one. And everybody keeps saying to me, just record it. Like last year with the team, like, oh, just do a recording. What if it sucked? Do I want to put out a sucky recording that only three people bought the program on? Or do I want to try for better? Right? Yeah. And I always do better each time, because like Lynn's saying, you practiced it.
Relaxed.
And what fell flat and what didn't fall flat. And then you just do it better each time. And there are people who come to all of them.
Really?
I on the last one. Yes. Yes. And then they go, wow, that was such a great presentation. I learned so much. I'm like, but you were at yesterday's. I said the same thing. Oh, no, you always say things a little bit differently. I always learn something new.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I hadn't thought of that before, because it also means I've got to get the PowerPoint presentation ready a week earlier. If you've gone through it, you're that much more relaxed, so you're much less on edge. It's a really good idea.
It is. And put it out there. Let's make the group, the NEPA group, be like, hey, I'm doing a practice webinar tonight. Who can come? Or, you know, in 3 days, I'm going to practice my webinar in 3 days. You know, this is when, you know, who can come? Please come. I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to do the same for you.
Yeah.
And not to be afraid to give people constructive feedback. Not that sucked, but have you thought about saying it a little bit different? Like when Annette came up with her title, I was like, okay, that's a good start, but let's play with that, right? And then let's see how we can do this. She had this perfect title, right? Because you don't know what you don't know until you speak it out loud.
Yeah.
And people go, it didn't land the way you wanted it to land. How can we do that better?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. I guess this is our last meeting for the year, or do we have anything in December? I don't know. I think the last two, nobody showed up, and I said, oh, forget December.
Oh.
You know, you get down towards this time of year and everybody gets But we can certainly do something if you need it. And I know we waited on yours till January on your private. You made an appointment with me for sometime soon, Allie.
I have in December, but I've found that I've got a Christmas party for my business networking that day, which finishes at 3, but 3 is the time we're booked.
Let me see what time is it? Okay, where's my calendar? Disappeared. There it is. All right, so what date? Is it the second week in December? It must be, because I'm away.
Yeah, it's about the 12th.
12th, okay. Wait, and you always use this link. Where you get this link? It's an ERC private consultation link.
I went to where Lynn said. So basically, I went to the NEPA page.
Okay, I'll have to look on there.
That thing again.
I'll have to look on there, because it must be linking to the wrong one. All right.
Yeah.
So you said it ends, what? Tell me what, it's right now, it's at 9 a.m.
Right, if it could be any later.
Yeah, I could do it at, I could do it at 11.
That'd be great.
I'll just move it to 11, and then I'll move this back there. Yeah, we got it. 11 o'clock.
Perfect.
Do you need a reminder?
Yeah, why not?
All right, I'll see if I can send you a reminder. Because what's going to happen, because I didn't do it in the back end.
No, I can do it from my end. That's no problem.
Okay, here.
I can do a reminder from my end.
Okay. I can add your name. I can add your name to it, Allie. Dralli. No. How is it? Allie at Dr. L. What is your email again?
Oh, okay. I'll write it here. And they can just copy and paste.
Okay. Yeah. But you might get the reminders that say it's the 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
From the automatically from appointment court. Yeah. I'm not sure how to go in there. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll put that in there. And you'll get this last one.
And let's face it, if you're like me and would like some reasonably time in December, there looks to be an irony office hours and case study. Oh, well, that's a bit late, 6 p.m. Case study on the 13th. And there's a vital healing kitchen for me to tune into. So
there's a lot happening. It's all in that second week, and it's crazy, crazy that week. I've got, well, Steph has her one-on-one. You canceled yours because you're moving that week, right, Annette?
That's the plan, yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got the vital health topic, which is going to be Kimberly. We've got the INE office hours for practitioners that day. And then the next day we have, oh, there's an open open coaching or case study? I think one or the other is on the 13th. There's a case study for.
Yeah, it says case studies here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're good.
Plenty of opportunity.
And then I'm taking a break. And I found out my older son is going to be home for probably almost a month.
Yay!
Not until the 22nd or 3rd, because he's driving, and it turns out his semester ends like the 22nd. So he's driving because he's going to be home a month. Because I'm like, if you don't know when you're coming, you got to get your flights. He goes, no, I'm driving. Like, why are you driving? You only have 2 weeks. No, I have a whole month. So I'm like, oh, cool. That's nice. We'll get to see the boys.
Yeah. And the 15th to the 21st, I'm actually going to a functional medicine hospital in just from across from San Diego, across the Mexico border, taking Natalie. Daniel's coming as Natalie's companion. Originally,
wait, you're coming to the U.S.?
Yes.
Wow. Wait, okay. Tell me the dates again, the 15th through the 21st.
So the 15th to the 21st.
Of December. And you're going to a...
They're going to fly into San Diego, and then we're going to recover from jet lag, and then the next day, the Sunday, is when they shuttle us from San Diego back to across the Mexico border to San Aviv, which is this medical hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got a medical program for me and Natalie, because Natalie is so troubled by her brain fog, fibromyalgia, hypermobility, vaginal pain, which I found out from Paula could have been oxalate sensitivity.
Yeah.
She's just losing all heart, but then she never has stuck to gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, alcohol-free, caffeine-free at all.
So you're taking
so overwhelming
to do it there.
So I know that in 3 days, I had my brain fog cleared when I was at your retreat. Mm. So I'm hoping that 5 days, Natalie will experience something that will encourage her to actually take my suggestions forward.
Right.
We'll have testing done as well. I will hopefully clear a lot of my brain fog, although it's been a lot better since I've been doing some more spiritual work. And I'll assess my burnout status there. Mm-hmm. And we will see. I'll post a link to the program in the NEPA group because it's very exciting.
Exciting. So you can get an extra day and come out this way to come to Austin on your way home.
Oh, if only. I think that'll have to wait till. It's just always, I just feel like I've got to save every penny. And so we're just flying straight back again.
Mm-hmm. So you have a London just to.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have some spare cash. I mean, Daniel was hoping to be able to explore Mexico, but they won't let him out. He's either got to be in as Natalie's companion or out for safety reasons because of their insurance. You know how it would be. It's sort of inevitable, really, but we were a bit disappointed. But that's really exciting, and it'll give me more information to base things on. Thank you, guys.
Well, we know that when you do the stuff, it actually works. That's the biggest thing is, like, for the most part, the issue is not like not knowing what to tell people to do. It's getting them to actually do it.
Well, also, I do think there's an issue with me. This chargeback, I looked and I'd actually, I'm still working on that chargeback thing, but that aside, the problem is, you know how Kendall Sunhawk says you don't have to give them everything you know, and you don't have to give them everything
they need. Right.
But of course, in general practice, I'm used to squeezing everything into 10 minutes. I mean, you should hear how fast I talk in a 10-minute consultation to try and get this information into them. Yeah, and it's just forcing. But I mean, they go
they
away.
They don't get it, right? They walk away confused.
They're not actually walking away confused, but it's not the same as this. And what the trouble is, I'm doing the same thing with my appointments as well, with my private appointments. And I've just been listening to Master of Enrollment again. And the way Bill Barron uses pauses, it's just so much slower than me, where I'm rushing around and I'm saying this. And
yep.
Yeah, there's a pause and you think, oh, has it stopped?
Yes, but and you think...
Just him allow you time to reflect.
And then he comes out with some brilliant response, right?
Yeah.
Because I'll think, is he not listening? What is it? And then all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Yeah. In the Q&As, they've asked a question and there's this silence.
Mm-hmm. Because he's thinking about it, right? Yeah. He's going...
He's not... being pressured into answering before he's spiritually connected to the person. And that's where I want to be.
All right. That's a goal.
And one of the things I want to do is work on the 5 ways to go deep for me. And that's what I was going to ask for if this was a masterminding session, was to find that deeper why, which will get the firecracker under my butt.
Well, we'll get to talk in December and we can explore that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have the same issue. I want to give you everything, right? I get on this call today. I'm like, no, wait a minute. This is enough. What we went over was enough. If I tried to cram in all the other nuances and all the other stuff about doing webinars, it would be too much.
Yeah.
Let's just take it in pieces that we can bite off and chew and digest and then...
And I'm doing myself a disservice as well. You know, people come in with a thyroid issue and, you know, in the NHS, sure, I can't sell them on me seeing me privately. But, right. You know, it's silly trying to do in 10 minutes. I give them 5 things to do and behave as though that's all they need to do. You know, I tell them to go gluten-free and behave as though that's all they need to do.
Yeah. And as if they could just do that.
Yeah.
Without any more, okay, just go gluten-free. Like, seriously? We have a whole program on taking them gluten-free. We're doing that again with Maya. I'm going to do that in January with the folks that are still not there in ERC. It's 8 weeks of how do you go gluten-free? What does it mean? How do you make these substitutes? What are some of the foods? What are your favorite foods? How do we substitute? You know, how do we actually go gluten-free in a healthy way without throwing your blood sugar off and, you know, creating all kinds of other stuff? And there's more to it. Like, and you learning to say, so one of the first steps I want you to focus on is gluten-free. Now, that may sound like, wow, that's a fad thing. It's not. Here's why. And here's what I want you to do. Here's the first 3 steps I want you to take in going gluten-free. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had so many people asking me about thyroid. People contacting me every week from my website.
Yeah. And when you stop and slow down and truly make the connection, why is the thyroid connected to gluten-free? How do the cross-reactin? What is cross-reaction? How this happens in a lot of other tissues in the body. For example, diabetes tends to be type 1 diabetes or autoimmune diabetes tends to be more associated with dairy in most of the studies than with gluten. Yeah, gluten's a factor there, but then in the thyroid, the gluten tends to be more of an issue. With kidneys, it tends to be oxalates, although that's not an allergy. It's still an area of the body that tends to be bothered by certain chemical constituents. And my job and my role with you is to help you to identify those foods and those lifestyle factors that are zapping your energy and making it difficult for your body to do what it's supposed to do, in particular for your thyroid to make the hormones and then utilize the hormones. And I want to teach you a way around that. Does that sound good?
Sure does. I'm in.
All right. Does that sound good, right? When you add that, you're getting their confirmation if they say no. And then you can say, oh, it doesn't sound good. So what is it about that it doesn't sound good? Is it that it doesn't sound good that you have to do these hard things? Or that, you know, it's kind of explore that with them. And it gives you the opportunity to use some of your Art of Inquiry stuff from Laura and her work and mix it in with your biochemical mastery and wizardry and medical science.
Yeah.
I have literally, and this happened recently, in ERC, I got on the call and it was supposed to be a lab call with somebody. And I had all these labs. I had it all across. I had all her labs out. And I said to her, before we get started, and I don't know why I asked this question, but before we get started, is there anything else that's not in your history that you'd like to share with me that you think might be important? Pause. Silence. Pained look on her face. Yeah, there's something I've never told another soul. And then she shared about some abuse she'd had. And I will tell you, that call, we did not talk about her labs. We just explored that. And that call completely shifted so much of her and her healing potential. You know? And because I took the time, I didn't feel like I had to do this because she's, you know, I said to her, like, you know, after we explored this, I said, look, we have about 15 minutes left on this call. We could just shift over and do some lab stuff, but I don't think that's what's really going to serve you best. I said, I really like the place where you're at right now. And I see that because she had said, I just think I finally found my place to go for HeartMath. Like, this feeling I have right now, I've never felt this feeling before. And we just left with that. We had a little bit more conversation about that and recreating that. So we'll do the labs another time. So feel, allow your left brain to stop and just use that intuition that we know you have. That's a gift you have into what they need most in the moment. All right, I got to go because I get another call. You guys,
I'm so glad you were still on when you got back. I will post the thing. Thank you.
Bye. Bye, everybody.